Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful. Paul Velleman here to talk about Chapter 18. In Chapter 18, we develop the important concept of a sampling distribution. We see that for sample proportions, the sampling distribution can be approximated by a normal model, and we examine the assumptions and conditions that support its use. We then turn our attention to means and the central limit theorem. This is a keystone chapter, introducing the concepts we'll need for inference in all the subsequent chapters, and it features the most remarkable result in all of statistics, the central limit theorem. If you can get across our thrill at how unexpected this result is, it can help students get comfortable with this new way of thinking about the statistics that they've been calculating all along. Here are 10 important points to keep in mind. 1. Help students understand the transition we're making here. We've talked about samples and calculated descriptive statistics like the sample proportion and the sample mean, and we understand that such statistics vary from sample to sample and each is an estimate of a population model parameter, and we've discussed the notion of sampling error and understand that it's unavoidable. The truly remarkable thing is that sampling error is understandable and predictable. We hope it's small, but remarkably enough, we can know how large it's likely to be. And armed with that knowledge, we'll be able to decide what outcomes are statistically significant. 2. This transition is a step back a level in our analysis. We've been focused on the data. We've derived statistics from it. But now students have to focus on the statistic itself. A sample proportion or a mean becomes our datum, and in our imaginations, we compare it to all the other values we might have obtained from all the other samples we might have taken. We investigate the behavior of these sample statistics, their shape, center, and spread. 3. Remind students repeatedly that the population is whatever the population is. It remains constant. Only the samples vary. This key definition returns again and again in the chapters ahead, as students tell what their inference conclusions are. 4. Take time to construct sampling distributions in class to be sure students know what's happening here. We find the simulations of this sort are the best way to get across these concepts. The differences among the population, the sample distribution, the sampling distribution for the sample statistic, and the sampling model describing that distribution are potentially confusing, but they're profound, and it's important that students understand them. 5. We discuss proportions first, and we'll continue to do so in the next several chapters. We found that students have a good feeling for proportions found from samples, maybe because they see so many opinion polls, and they've heard about the margin of error, though they probably don't really know what that means. For now, all we need is their sense that from sample to sample, the observed proportion will vary. 6. Our terminology takes advantage of the distinction we've been making all along between models for data and the data themselves. Now that distinction is especially useful because we're dealing with so many different distributions. Students have to make a step from thinking of a statistic as the answer, as the summary we were looking for, to thinking of a statistic as just one of many possible values we might get from many possible samples. Then they must make the next step to thinking about the distribution of those statistics. That's the sampling distribution. Finally, we model that distribution. Using the term sampling distribution model helps to reinforce that what we have is that most remarkable animal, a working model, that we can use to understand how all those statistics we never found would behave if only we bothered to draw all those samples. 7. When we look at sample means, we have yet another distribution to deal with. Proportions just come from a population that's part success and part failure, but means are found for quantitative data, so there's some underlying population distribution. So now, we have, first, an unknown population distribution. Then, a sample with its own sample distribution, which we can look at with a histogram. We have a sampling distribution of means, which we never actually see except in simulations, but we can imagine finding by drawing repeated samples and accumulating a mean from each one. And, finally, a sampling distribution model to describe the sampling distribution. Reminding students that this is a model helps them to differentiate it from the others here. The central limit theorem saves us from having to deal with most of these. It tells us that the sampling distribution model is normal, and that we never have to actually draw those samples to build a sampling distribution. Even more remarkably, it tells us that we don't care about the population distribution. We ought to look at a histogram of the data, because we always make a picture of our data. 8. If you have a computer projector, you can discover the central limit theorem using ActiveStats in class. The simulation uses tools students have been working with for several chapters already. Alternatively, if you have time, draw random samples from some manageable population and create a sampling distribution of the sample means for various sample sizes. You can also find web applets and downloadable programs to do this simulation in a variety of ways. 9. A common question students pose, and if they don't, you might suggest it, goes something like this. Make up your mind. For larger samples, does it look more like the population, or does it become more normal? Well, that depends what it is. The larger the sample, the more we expect the sample to reflect the shape, center, and spread of the population, whatever those may be. But for larger samples, the behavior of sample means becomes more normal. 10. Help students appreciate the stunning results in this chapter. It's not obvious that normal models would prove to be so useful. This is one of the most startling and powerful insights in all of mathematics. We consider the central limit theorem to be the fundamental theorem of statistics. No one's surprised to think that larger samples look more like the population, or that the means of large samples vary less than the means of smaller samples. But who would guess that the variability among sample means would have a normal model even when the population doesn't? Wow. Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.